And welcome back. The St. Louis County Library System is getting a facelift. Half a dozen new and renovated buildings in the district begin opening this month. Another five are on the schedule, and a $120 million multi-year program to renovate or replace 19 branches within the library district. Those opening in October and over the next few months are the new Lewis and Clark opening on the 14th, by the way, and five additional locations, Jamestown Bluffs, Indian Trails, Grants View, Weber Road, and Rock Road, will reopen in November through January. Additional construction will begin in late 2015 and early 2016 at an additional five locations, Samuel C. Sachs, Oak Bend, Natural Bridge, Prairie Commons, and Cliff Cave. It's called the Library Renewed Campaign, and Kristen Sorth, director of the County Library District, joins me in studio. Kristen, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Did I give away all your secrets
you
by
did.
Naming all the branches?
You definitely did.
Well, it's a busy, busy time for you, needless to say, and we're just a couple of days away from opening at the Lewis and Clark branch.
That's definitely true. We're pretty excited about the Lewis and Clark branch. First new non-residential construction in Moline Acres in a decade. And I always say that it's the branch that the community built. We did a lot of community surveys beforehand, and so hopefully the community will love it as much as we do. It's a very beautiful branch that's designed with the public in mind.
There are, as you well know, and we all know, there are some preservationists out there who are not real happy with the changes taking place, wanting to keep the traditional architecture and what have you. How are you dealing with those complaints?
Well, you know, we really tried to focus on what the community wanted, and so we heard overwhelmingly from the community that they wanted a new branch to support the needs of that that area, where it's an area that's struggling at times, and so the community or the library is a community anchor up there, and to do that, we needed to put in a new library system with some new amenities that could support the things that they need.
As it happens, we have an email already in with regard to this issue.
Okay.
We'll read the email to you. Please ask her, where is the rest of the Emil Frey glass removed from the original Lewis and Clark Library? The library board had promised to preserve the stained glass, and they did so during demolition, but only used three panes. Where is the rest of the glass? Do you have plans for it? At the very least, Emil Frey would like to archive the unused pieces.
So we have the stained glass is in storage right now, and we're really focused on getting the branches, the rest of the branches open, and then closing the next round. So we haven't had any discussions around the other stained glass. But as the person emailing mentioned, the panes of Lewis, Clark, and Sacagawea have been renovated and restored, and they're displayed beautifully in the new branch. You can see them inside the branch and then outside as you drive along 367.
Clearly an attempt to preserve what you can during this this overall process.
Yes, absolutely.
So this is opening on the 14th, as I mentioned. What are some of the things that will be in the new branch that were not in the old?
Okay, we have many things. We have an expanded children's area with a program room. So it's a separate room where they can do story time and crafts and things like that. We have what we are calling the living room. One of the things that the patrons told us that they wanted was a quiet place. Our branches aren't particularly quiet anymore. We encourage lots of activity. So we have a room that is separated out with comfortable seating and comfortable tables where people can go for some quiet time. We have what we're calling business centers. They have copying, scanning, and faxing capabilities, and also an area where individuals can work on resumes, things like that. And then we have double the computers. This is a branch where some of our most important services are computers, access to public computers, and access to Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi. So there are 57 computers in this new branch.
Libraries aren't what they used to be, are they?
No, they're not. But they're, you know, we're still a lot about books. I actually was looking at some circulation statistics, and we're still circulating. 55% of our circulation is still materials, still books. Paper books, magazines, those kinds of things. So we still have lots of materials, but we're also a community resource, and that involves public computers programs. This branch is going to offer an after-school program called Club 367 for kids in the Riverview Garden School District to come after school and get homework help and a variety of other activities. And then it just has a ton of programs like Zumba and, you know, all those kinds of things that the public is interested in doing we'll have at the library.
The you mentioned they're noisy. What is causing the noise?
Well, I think the noise is coming from activity. We are very, very busy. We have people in and out of the branch all day long. We have people using the public computers. We have kids in and in our spaces, and they're having a good time. People are having a good time. So we certainly have spaces carved out for individuals if they want some quiet time. But in the main parts of the libraries, we want them to be active, joyous locations. I will say in Lewis and Clark, too, we have new study rooms. We have individual study areas where people can go if they want to collaborate or to study.
And how are these configured? I mean, are these just simply desks and chairs, or are they have a special kind of configuration?
In the study rooms, it's a desk with several chairs around so that individuals can sit together and collaborate on if it's a study group, you know, kids from high school want to come in and work on a project together, they can go into these individual rooms and study.
One of the things that we've noticed recently in the last few years is that libraries have become community centers in many ways, a role they didn't always have. Particularly, we came across that with regard to Ferguson. Ferguson was a very important place in that whole Ferguson story.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's how we look at our system as well. We offer resources for individuals in the community, and all of these new branches that are opening are going to reflect the community where they're at. So if they asked for, we heard family restrooms. So we have family restrooms in all of the branches. We've never had that before. They wanted quiet places. They wanted more computers. At our Natural Bridge branch, which will be closing soon for renovation, we're going to have an after-hours computer lab that will be open past library branch normal hours till 11 o'clock at night to really help people in that community who need access to computers.
And I saw a reference someplace to cafes.
We do. We have in terms of a place where you can go get a sandwich, but we have vending, and all of our branches will have vending, which is something we don't have right now. And then there will be cafe seating and a laptop bar where people can go and, you know, have a snack and enjoy their time in the library.
And forgive me for saying this, but it reminds me of what Borders used to be like.
You know, I think that there's been a trend in the library world to take the Borders model and apply it to libraries. And I think it makes sense for us, particularly in St. Louis. We have a very literate community, and we also have a community that likes to come to their libraries for programs and services. And so the more enjoyable it is when they come, the longer they stay. So that's our philosophy.
And how many are coming? Is traffic as heavy as it once was, or heavier?
It is very heavy. We have record circulation in the last several years. And I'll tell you, we expected to have our circulation numbers go down significantly with so many branches closed for construction. And our circulation has only gone down by 6% during this time. And some of our branches have seen record increases. Bridgeton Trails, for example, which is really close to some of the other branches that are closed for construction, have seen double digit, like 50% increases in circulation visits. And they have a 93% increase in computer usage, which is a huge, great indication that people want to go to the library even though theirs is closed.
You know, I suppose there was no way not to do it, but it was really a smart idea a few years ago to start putting computers in libraries.
It really was. You know, it was something that we learned early on that people were going to need. Not everybody has access to computers or iPads or laptops. And so it's another service that we provide to our community, along with free Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Let's take a couple of calls. Kristen Sorth is our guest from the St. Louis County Library District. We'll start with Charlie, who's calling from St. Louis County. Go ahead, Charlie. You're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Actually, the name is Harry. For some reason, it came out Charlie.
Well, Harry it is then.
Yes, thank you. I'm concerned for years now, and it seems to be continuing, the library shelves are becoming, having fewer and fewer books. I'd like to see that trend reversed. I'd like to see more books and have you get rid of fewer books. I'd like to see you get some new books. You're discarding the old ones.
We actually hear that a lot, and sometimes I'm puzzled. I realize that we do weeding to keep our collection current, but we actually order about 1,000 items a day, and that means 3,000 titles a month and 30,000 to 40,000 new items per month going into the branches. So we're definitely ordering paper copies of materials. We know that that's what people still want. That's what we hear from our patrons. And as I mentioned earlier, about 55% of our circulation is books, magazines, resources that are still paper.
Well, you say there's a lot of things that you're getting. A lot of them is, you'll see multiple, I mean, more than 10 on the shelf at a particular branch of the same issue, the same item, the same book. And I don't think you need to keep getting rid of books just because they don't go out that frequently. I'd like to see more books and not newer books where you buy dozens and they're scattered all over and people don't want to take those out.
Charlie, I think we've got the point. Anything you want to add to that, Kristen?
Just that we are, you know, very aware of the patrons' demands in St. Louis County, and that is for items that are popular and that they want to read. And so we continue to purchase, as I mentioned, a number of new items all the time for our patrons.
What happens to the books that you do no longer put on the shelves?
Sure. We have a couple different programs. We have a recycled reads program, and we take a lot of those items and we place them around St. Louis in car dealerships or doctor's offices or hospitals and beauty shops, and we put them out. We have a sign, and so we tell people to come in and take a book and read it, and they can take it home with them if they want. And another program that we have is, of course, our Sweet Reads program, which is a bookmobile we purchased a couple years ago, and it goes to the Spanish Lake area, and it is a bookmobile that delivers donated and discarded books to an area of the county that doesn't have access to a library. And so it goes all around Spanish Lake, and it's filled with discarded materials.
Let's take another call. We'll bring in Tom calling from Afton. Tom, go ahead. You're on the air with Kristen Sorth.
Thank you, Don. I'm glad to hear this kind of visionary 21st century approach to the library, and that's what these remodelings have been about. But I'd like to also amplify the last caller's concern, and I'll tell you, a few years ago, I was moving, and I went through my books, and I found a book that I had checked out from the main branch many years ago, and I felt very guilty that I hadn't returned it. I Googled it, and I found out that it was a catalog from a photography exhibit that was selling for $300 when it was in good condition. So the book was still of interest to some people. So I wrote an email to the head of circulation, and I said, I want to return this book, and I want to alert you to it, that it doesn't just go in the discard pile, because it's a valuable book. It's been very good condition. I waited about a year for it to get processed back into the circulation, and it never showed up. So I asked a reference librarian what might have happened, and she told me that books that don't get checked out get weeded out. And we both looked at each other with raised eyebrows, and I thought, you know, what is happening to our county library as an archive, as a resource for research, if only periodicals and you know, New York Times bestsellers are the only thing we can find on the shelf?
Let's get a response to that, Tom. Thanks for the call.
Sure. Well, I guess my answer to that question is that that we're a public library, and so we're not an archival library. But we do try and purchase items that the public is requesting. So a lot of our purchases come from requests that we get in from the public, and we do try and keep current with public demand, and we try and make sure that we don't have a long hold list on items that the public is requesting. And so in order to be able to keep up with all of the new items that are coming in and also keep the collection relevant and fresh and updated and with current information, we do, and every library does, weed their collection to make space for new material. So I'm not familiar with your exact situation, I'm not aware of what happened with that, but I can understand your concern with that for sure.
So what kind of a fine is imposed?
They probably, did you have a fine?
I think he's gone.
Is he gone?
He's gone.
Okay.
You're still doing that though. I mean, if you are late returning books, it's still fine, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You had mentioned before, Kristen, that about 55% of what your inventory is paper. Is that to tell us that 45% of e-books or that sort of thing?
Some of it, e-books. We have DVDs. You can come in and check out movies and current movies, and actually also current TV shows. And then we have a couple of other online things. We do streaming music and some streaming movies. And then we have video games as well. You can check out video games. So we have a number of items that are not in paper that we make available for our patrons.
We have an email from Adana in Crestwood writing, "Many times I've taken a bestseller to the library to donate so that they can add it to their inventory and lessen the wait time on the book. However, they always turn me down and say they'll just put it in their $1 rack. They said they can't take new books from the public even if there's a demonstrated need for the title. Why?"
Well, we definitely take donated materials. So as I mentioned, we have a lot of different ways that we use that material. So we, as I mentioned, really try and stay current on popular items. And so we have multiple copies in all of our branches of popular titles. So we don't typically add donated materials to the collection, but we do use them for our patrons in different ways.
The only a couple of minutes left. I want to talk again about the libraries that are going to be opening between now and the first of the year. I'll run through them very quickly. Let's see. We've got Jamestown Bluffs, Indian Trails, Grants View, Weber Road, and Rock Road reopening in November through January. Can you give us kind of an overview of what it's going to be like at these branches?
Well, those branches were a little bit more complicated because the outside, of course, stays the same. So we tried to transform. We're trying to call them transformations instead of just renovations. So those branches will be similar to Lewis and Clark. They have a family restroom. They have expanded and more dynamic children's spaces, teen spaces, dynamic teen spaces. They also have a living room space, which is the quiet location for people to go and read and study. They have the study rooms. All of them have study rooms. They all will have vending, cafes, and laptop bars. So we tried to keep with a common theme, and we heard from patrons at all of those locations that those are the elements that they were looking for.
It sounds like in all of these branches, and with all of the changes taking place, that there are a lot more rooms. Is that correct? Is it broken down into smaller groupings?
It does. In some cases, we've carved out spaces in the branches. There was a lot of unused space in the old branches, and some of them are 50-plus years old. So when the libraries were built, they weren't built for what they need to be today. So they weren't built with a community resource in mind. And so we've carved out spaces and been more efficient. We're much more efficient with our staff area, and the patrons will notice that all of the branches have circular desks that are in the center of the library, as opposed to a desk that is to the side and out of the way. So it's a much smaller desk, but it's right in the middle of all of the libraries, so it's easily accessible.
What do you think the patrons are going to be most excited about at these places?
I think that The kids are going to be just really excited about the kids' spaces. We've told all of the architects involved that we want our children's spaces to be a destination space. So when the kids come in, they look at it and they run as fast as they can to the children's area. And I think that the kids are going to be overwhelmed by what they see. And I will say we have comfortable seating in all of the locations. That's something that we heard from everybody, that we don't have enough comfortable seats. And so we have really comfortable furniture and updated furniture all throughout the buildings.
And just a second or two left, but with attention to the kids is very important because that's your next generation, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And the teens, too. You know, sometimes we lose teens. It's not cool to come to the library. So we've tried to create spaces that have dynamic colors and kind of funky furniture for the teens so that they come and they want to stay through adulthood as well.
Sounds very exciting. Kristen Sore, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Congratulations on progress thus far.
Thank you.
I know you're going to be very busy in the weeks and months ahead.
Absolutely.
Kristen Sore from the St. Louis County Library District. Thank you again. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with geriatrician Dr. John Morley about the program he leads to train primary care physicians to care for older adults. Also, the annual election period for Medicare health and drug plans begins next week. We'll take a look at what to look for to choose the next best plan. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air, a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.